turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13. We've been going through the parables. We have one with two verses today. That ought to be quick, huh? Well, it is good to see everybody. Before we start, as we do often, I have a prayer request. Faith Ann that sits down here would have had a back neck surgery and has some heart. Her heart was good. She had a good report Friday. She goes back in the year. But she was in a car accident last night, a drunk driver. She has a concussion. She's at home. But remember to pray for her and her cousin. I don't know much about it. Just found out this morning when I got here. But we'll pray for her in just a little bit. But I want to look at Matthew chapter 13. I want you to go down to verse 31. And we'll start there in just a little bit. I almost did this yesterday. Everybody has apples at their house, pretty much, don't they? And I've got four grandchildren from my son and two from my daughter. But there's one or two of the older ones that I wanted to sit down yesterday and cut an apple out and set them down and see if they could count the seeds in the apple. And they could probably do it. Probably wouldn't have any doubt about that. But then what if they had the seed, one seed? Could they count the apples that would come out of that seed? There's a difference, isn't there? That's what I want to talk about today. Not how we count, but how we're counted. We're the fruit of the Lord, aren't we? And we're all one. How much could come out of just one of us? That's the message in the scripture today. Well, I ask you if you would to bow your heads as we pray. Father, we need you this morning. So many things that happen on the outside that we know that are tragic and deadly in most cases. Lord, there's things that are on the inside because of those things that happen that cause us the greatest trouble. Lord, we know without a doubt that many are here and there's great difficulties to understand. Thank you for your word and thank you how you've brought this around today. And because it's Father's Day, I have fathers on my heart. Lord, I just pray I have a son and a son-in-law that are fathers that are just getting started. And Lord, I pray for those that are here today that are just getting started and those that's been through a while maybe and not finished yet. Lord, we need you to give us understanding and power and strength to be the Christian fathers and Christian people that you need us to be. Bless your word. May it be planted. May it be watered. And Lord, may you give the increase very soon in every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 13, look at verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, that so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Just like we've been talking about illustrations, levels of understanding, a natural understanding, a spiritual understanding. This is probably the worst one that you'll see in these parables that have those kind of results. First, Jesus says that there's a parable, and he wants to explain the kingdom of heaven. That's not the church, it's the world. It's God's people in the world. And we found that last week in his world. There are wheats and there are tares, and we're one or the other. God's people are wheat, and those that refuse and reject and deny are the tares. There's a lot of folks that may not be one yet of either of those, but they're going to one of these days cross that line and be a rejecter of Christ or somebody that receives the Lord. Now, the first thing that he says, he's talking about a grain of a mustard seed. One grain, one seed. Now, people are just bound to argue and debate the silliest things that come out of Scripture. Jesus says that it's the smallest or least of the seeds. And I had a man years ago, never talked to me, never questioned me, met me outside when I was preaching this years and years ago. And he talked about the orchid seed and all these other seeds. And he says, I want to tell you that you're wrong. The mustard seed's not the smallest. It's not the smallest seed of any plant. And I says, well, you're right, because it's an herb. It's a plant, but it's not a tree. But it grows into a tree. And then I got him all confused. I didn't have to talk to him. But it's this way for a reason. It's small. Jesus said it was the smallest amongst the species, kind, whatever you want to talk about. I'm not an expert in that at all. But it's the smallest. It's very, very small. And this seed that is sowed in the field, that's the least, has an opportunity to grow. And when it's grown, it's the greatest. So we go from smallest to greatest. That's what we need to keep in mind and get all the other silly things out of our heart that we would want to argue with. So it becomes small when it's sown, when it's planted, and when it's grown, it becomes the greatest, and it becomes a tree. There's nothing wrong with figurative speech in the Bible. And we could go on and on again with people that would say, well, why does it say that? How can it be a herb or a plant and become a tree? Well, how can Peter be a rock? Isn't that what Jesus said? You're called rock, Peter. So we don't get into that either. That's not the point at all this morning. But what happens is this small seed that's sown, when it's grown, it's the biggest, like a tree. And then the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches. Lodge. They land. They feel safe. They feel protected. And there's some other people that will take this another way. But when I turn to Ezekiel chapter 31 and verse 6 and Ezekiel 17 verse 23 and 24, I find out that this is the end of the kingdom. And the birds are the nations of the world that flock to the Lord and feel so safe and protected in his branches. And the kingdom has a lot of branches, doesn't it? They have safety, they have protection. That's what I believe it means. It's not anything at all, a mixture of heaven and hell and good and evil and all those things. The Bible started out in our parables to split things down into wheats and tares, tares and wheats, all these things. And right now, as we speak on this parable, it's not mixed together yet. So with that in mind, we find out that there's one grain that's sown. One. I could plant one seed of anything and then wait a while and see what it came up to be. The Bible says that it was the least. It was small. It was probably insignificant in most people's minds, but it will grow on. Let the wheat and tare grow together, Jesus said, and I will separate them later on. This seed that was sown that was so small grew to be great. And there was a great use of this tree for all the people to be safe and protected. I want you to hold your place there. I want you to go back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And what I want to zero in on is verse 2. He shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. Jesus came from heaven, didn't he? He came and he was born spiritually by the Holy Spirit into the womb of Mary. He didn't have any seed that was planted to bring him up, but there was a root, and it was a dry ground. Even if he was a seed, there was no thing in the soil to allow him to take root and grow. And how we understand this spiritually with us is the Holy Spirit doesn't need anything, and he grows roots in us, doesn't he? When he comes into our heart, when we receive him, he is the root. He is the all of it, everything. And Jesus is the root out of a dry ground. He is exactly the definition and illustration of the mustard seed he was talking about. He was worthless to the Jews. When Jesus came and he was born and he grew up and he became a preacher and he began to do miracles, he did all kinds of healings. For a while he was okay. But soon, as he began to teach the scriptures, he was worthless to the Jews. He was opposite from anything they supposed for him to be. He was supposed to be the king. He was supposed to be the Messiah. He was supposed to be the one from David's lineage to come and sit on the throne and take care of all the Romans and do everything. But he was useless in any way that they desired. He was almost invisible in the ways that God had intended him to be, because they had in their minds and their hearts that he needed to be something else. His teaching influenced so many people, and it couldn't be denied. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 went to Jesus at night, didn't he? And he testified of what the Jews were thinking, and he said, there's no way we can deny the power. The other Jews agreed that there's no way he really is healing people. There's something to this. He had a mission, didn't he? But they rejected his mission. They rejected everything that he did to prove who he was. And they had the will. They had the power. They had the authority to kill him. And they did. But he refused to stay dead. I want you to turn over to John. That'll be the last place we go, and then we'll go back to Matthew. John chapter 12. Jesus is the mustard seed. Jesus is the root out of the dry ground. And in John chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says in verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, aren't we wheat? We are, aren't we? Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And we're his fruit, aren't we? Because he died, and because he refused to stay dead, he rose again, didn't he? A wheat, a grain of wheat, a piece of grain, a little bitty mustard seed that came on in the world that started out really, really small. Didn't Jesus start out small? A poor family, a carpenter's son, a little girl, a virgin Mary, Galilee and Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and everything that Jesus was and everything that Jesus started was very small, wasn't it? But something happened. He grew, didn't he? He grew strong. He grew tall in every way. He accomplished a whole lot of things, but then he died. And the people back then couldn't figure it out. But they did in 3 days, didn't they? It didn't take but 3.5 days for them to find out that all of a sudden Jesus came back from the dead, didn't he? He made a great statement to all those that rejected him and all those that disbelieved in him, because he was the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, wasn't he? And he still is to this day. But today, fathers especially, and everybody else, you fit in this too, we have a different understanding about the world we live in. It's more like what the Jews thought about Jesus. Everybody thinks they need to graduate high school, have a great job, have a big house, and have everything that takes others 40, 50 years to get, even if they get there then, huh? They think that, well, I'm a superhero with superpowers. And I talked to my daughter about this one day, long time ago, Mr. Wright. She's going to meet Mr. Wright, but she didn't realize that his middle name was Always Right. We have big beginnings, and we want to be heroes, and we want our kids to be the best basketball player and best athlete and all these things. We don't have time to wait. We don't have time to invest. We think that everything that we need and everything that we want should come right to us. And that's not true, is it? Just like a grain of a mustard seed, just like a root out of a dry ground, just like wheat. We have to have a small beginning when it comes to the Lord. When it comes to spiritual things, we have to grow and walk with the Lord, don't we? Day by day by day, and so many things happen to us to knock us down and steps us up. Sometimes we want our kids to have what we didn't have. My mother and daddy made me go to church, and I'm not going to make my kids go. You know, things like that. You heard that? You ever said that? Maybe. But the truth this morning is the example that we have that Jesus gives us is when we're with the Lord and when we're doing right and when we're convinced without a doubt that I know I'm saved and I know I'm walking with the Lord and I need my kids to walk in that way too, we'll be worthless to the world, won't we? Just like Jesus was worthless to the Jews, because the world has plans for us. The world needs us. I don't know how many years it took me. I had several jobs, and I moved up in every one of them. And for some reason, I didn't think anybody could replace me. And I don't know how old I was, and I can't tell you when it happened, but boy, was I shocked one day. You know? It doesn't matter, we get three people to do what you did, or we don't even have to hire nobody. We got somebody else who can do their job and what you did. What a shock. That's the way the world is. We're right with God, we're worthless for the world. It's opposite of the way things are supposed to be. I'm going to be a good Christian, and I'm going to go out and win everybody I work with, and I'm going to start a Bible study where I work, and pray for me, preacher. We're going to do this, and oh my goodness, there's a shocker, huh? Isn't that the way it is? Things in the world were worthless at. It's supposed to be a certain way for others to think that, boy, if we can be a Christian and we can have this, we can have the best of both worlds. I can be a good Christian and I can make all this money and I can be famous and all these things. But it's not the way the Lord teaches us. And you know when we find out? Just like the scripture says in Matthew. Go back to Matthew. Verse 32. But when it is grown, it's different, isn't it? How many people here this morning would do it different if they had another chance, wouldn't we? We would, wouldn't we? But even when I say that, and even when I used to believe it, I backed away very quickly, because there's a verse in the Bible in Romans in verse 28. It helps me to see that I would never change anything, because all things work together for good, don't they? To them that are called according to God's purpose, those that love Him. And I found out that love right there and what God has shown me through the years is exactly where He wanted me to be. And I'm thankful and grateful, aren't you? We don't have any other way to do anything except the way it happens to us. That's the only way we can rate. That's the only way we can kind of match up to anybody else in the world. I may be nothing to the world around me. They can count me as worthless. Almost invisible, huh? To the world is what I need to be as a Christian. Because there's a little seed inside of me. There's a little seed of wheat inside of you. And God is going to grow it up, isn't He? And he's going to use the things that I used to think was an advantage to help me understand that I don't need to do that. I don't need to be a part of that. And it's good in my heart and it's good in your heart, because then I can be what God wants me to be. I can become what God wants me to be, and oh, how long it takes. But because I'm weak, I have to understand that there's some things that's going to happen to me that I'm not going to like, because we're the fruit of Jesus. Jesus knew what he was going to face, and we don't. But because he faced it, I know without a doubt that I've got things coming to me because I'm his. Jesus tried to teach him, don't be surprised. They've done this to me, they're going to do it to you. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? And the trouble that we have in our own heart is greater than any trouble anybody else could put on us. But I know without a doubt, as the wheat of God, as we talked about last week, God puts us where he needs us, doesn't he? He plants us, and we need to bloom where we've been planted. And when we grow from a little bit grain, wherever we work, wherever we're at, people will see it. And the trouble that we have because of the tares and the temptation to battle back with them, the way it teaches us, the world does, that we need to get in there and fight back and do this, that's not the example Jesus gives us. And it's hard, isn't it? But the missing thing so far in the parables, we're going to cover it today, is because there's a seed of the Lord inside of me. And because it's growing like a mustard seed, I can overcome the world, can I? I can overcome anything. It's hard, it's difficult, it's almost impossible. Especially when it happens to somebody else that we love. We've all been through that, and we still will be. But the greatest thing that we need to understand and get a hold of today is I'm not ashamed where God's taking me. I know that when I grow up, God will make me great in his eyes. There's a lot of people that do a lot of things that nobody will ever know about. When my daddy, the funeral that we had, there was men that he worked with for 30 years. I just see daddy go to work. I see him come home. They put that silver lunch box out where I could get it. And I'd open it up and there'd be a zero bar for me. Just for me. And I would eat that candy bar. Just my daddy and me would sit there and talk. He got home early in the morning sometimes, and the other kids couldn't wake up, but I was awake waiting for him. And the example that I had of my daddy, the invisible work that God did in him, I did not know until later when people began to come to me. The things he did for people that nobody ever knew, and he didn't put it in the paper. He didn't tell anybody about it. He was the shyest man in the world. And you know I took after Mama, don't you? Yeah, I didn't take after him on that part. But what an awesome example I had in 1996 when I got to preach his funeral. And 2 weeks before he called me and made me promise to preach it hot and heavy at his funeral. And I didn't even know he was sick. But he was. And he didn't make it. But I got to preach. And I'm not going to get too deep. I promise, Sandy. but the guy that was the head of the plant canceled all the work that day. Daddy had talked to him, and everybody went to the funeral. And they were all there. And one after another. And I left that day and I thought, Lord, there's no way. I don't have time. There's not as many years left. It'd be the example that was living before me in my house all my life. And I never knew it. fathers, it's busy, it's hard, isn't it? I got a son that's got four kids, and he drives to Alabama. He drives to places I've never heard of. I've never heard of Paradise, Kentucky. Have you? Yeah, I know. Yeah, some of y'all have. That's where he goes sometimes. He goes far away, and he has to leave the kids and all this stuff, but he's busy, wore out. But he loves his kids. And if he's going to ever, ever see anything good for them, it's going to be from his spiritual life, isn't it? Because we're wheat and because we're Christian, we're just like the Lord. We're like a tree. And what we want to do with our kids, fathers, is when we're grown, after the busyness is over, our branches that have grown like a tree, that our kids and our grandkids, the safety and protection to come back and lodge at home where we're at, where we raised them. I want my kids, and we're past that now because we have a place for them to come back to. But some of y'all that are younger, if you can, think of the future for just a little bit. God will make a way for you later on. For those kids that you're raising right now, because God's in your life and you're a wheat and you're a seed and you're growing, that you become great in God's eyes and you can be useful and you can have the love of God in your heart that you might not have ever known that they saw, and they can come back home in safety and protection in a spiritual way. And if any other place in the world they could come, it would be your house. Fathers are going to be grandfathers one day, aren't they? It shouldn't be in the world to where people have to take care of their mother and daddy and their grandkids. There's in the middle there, it's missing. It's called parents, isn't it? And there is a time that you feel wasted, worthless, invisible, opposite from everything you want to be. But just remember, there's a seed involved. There's things you're planting. There's things you're doing in front of them. If they know you, pray for them. If you take them to church when you can. Because nowadays it's so bad in this world that two people have to work. They do, don't they? And when you work, you might have to work a Sunday. And there's nothing wrong with that. That should be the only thing that defines you as a Christian. It ought to be, I take care of my family. I feed my family. I clothe my family. I love my children. And I'm planting seeds, even though you don't know it. You've always provided for your kids. That's number one, isn't it? You can never miss church, and you can do all you want, but if you've never prayed for your children, what does it matter? I saw my daddy praying. I saw him read his Bible. I saw him go to the altar sometimes in church. I saw him do things to me that it wasn't my fault. And after he whooped me, he apologized. But then he'd look at me and say, I probably missed it one other time, so I think we're probably even. He would always say something like that to me. But this morning, as a father, can you count the apples in your house? I can't. We had two apples, Megan and Josh. Megan has two little girls. One's, 2 weeks old? Counted that apple not long ago. Got six grandkids or grandapples. And I can count every one of them. How many do you have this morning? Count them. Just to yourself. You got some apples that God allowed you to have planted in your house and to come up. And you can count them. But can you count the seeds in your children's lives as apples? We can't, can we? I've got some good kids, I believe. Sandy and I do. And there's no telling how many seeds they're planting every day. Just that one apple that we put out has a whole bunch of seeds in it, doesn't it? And now they're starting it all over again with their children, with their apples. Seed after seed after seed. But I can't count the seeds that the Lord's planting. I can't grab a hold of the understanding that He gives me of how glad I was years ago to be grown finally. When it was grown, that's what it said, didn't it, in the Bible, in verse 32. But when it was grown, it became great. And when we are grown spiritually, we'll be great. I know God's used me. I even know when things get worse, when things get bad, what I need to do with the Lord's example. Even if they seemingly destroy my life, I refuse to stay destroyed because of the seed that's inside of me. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not where I need to be sometimes, and neither are you. But there's a seed growing inside of you if you're saved. It's inside, invisible. Sometimes opposite, sometimes feel worthless, sometimes feel useless, sometimes invisible. But it's growing, isn't it? And when it's grown, are you grown? Are you mature? Do you come to the point in your life where you begin to think about these spiritual things that God's trying to teach us? There really is consequences, isn't there? There really is things that I get for what I do, isn't there? And maybe you've even come to the point in your family, some families are different. Mine was different. I got to see everything that ever happened to anybody and do anything I wanted to do by the time I was 15 years old, maybe 14. I was around it, in it. I didn't take part of heart of anything, but I made it look like I did. But I had a little brother that came up behind me that didn't know that. And he did everything that you could imagine that he thought I was doing that I wasn't. I was pretty good at getting by, playing both sides. But he has his own life, his own responsibility, doesn't he? So do we. And the most awesome thing we can do this morning is pray to God to grow us up. Lord, it's time. I'm ready. I see that I have some control in my future. I have some control and some say in where I go and what I do. And because of that, there's some under me, some children, and kids later on, grandchildren. They're going to be affected by what I'm doing right now and what decisions I'm making. And Lord, I want you to be a part of it. And if you're here this morning and you can say, well, preacher, I agree with that, I believe that, but I went too far, I went too long. I'm not what I want to be, I'm not what I need to be. You might be in the right place, spiritually speaking. Because this morning you can go from small to great by coming to the understanding, just like Jesus taught us, that a grain of wheat has to die to bear fruit. And you can die spiritually and you can die physically, but you can die to self this morning, can't you? As a grain of wheat and then bring forth much fruit. Wouldn't it be worth it? Wouldn't it be right? It's not payback. It's not giving a handout or giving a hand up. It's not paying back people for what they've done for me. It's being wheat. It's being the Lord's. And Lord, I'm ready. It's time. Take care of these things in my life, Lord, please, right now. And everybody's come to that understanding when they've grown up, huh? And sometimes we need to grow up more than once. But we need to come to the conclusion, especially fathers, And even though it looks bad for me right now, I refuse to let it go on anymore. And because I'm grown, I see things for the first time that I've never seen before. And Lord, only you can take care of it. Only you can stop me in my tracks. Only you can take away the fears and the things that I'm feeling and allow me to be an example, an influence, a father, a husband of what I need to be like. There's a lot of folks that make a lot of mistakes when they're young that are still paying for them, aren't they? They still go back to, what if I never, and it's too late. Get over it. Please be over it. Because what it's doing is stopping you from going forward. And the grandkids don't know us like the people we run around with 30, 40 years ago. They wouldn't believe it if they heard it. They're ignorant to everything we've ever done except what we're doing right now. And we're going to have to deal with the past, but then we need to deal with the future. And the best way to deal with the future this morning is, Lord, I refuse to stay down. I refuse to keep doing what I'm doing. And today I've grown up spiritually. And I want to start brand new and fresh this morning. If you're here and you're lost, the understanding of this message to you would be that now you've grown up, you've understood, you see the light, you see the understanding. You know that you're lost. And you've known it for a long time. You've been able to avoid it. You've been able to get in and out of it. But there's going to come a time in your life when you're lost that God's going to grow you up and hold you accountable and say, right now, which way are you going to go? And I've got so many testimonies of my own life that I won't share with you this morning. But everybody here has a testimony like that, don't they? There was a time in your life, a place that God set, that you realized without a doubt if you turned and walked away, it would be over. I've had that, haven't you? And going back to that now, I'm so glad that I refused because of the teaching my daddy taught me. That I refuse to go any further except towards the Lord. My daddy put an X on his checks. He wouldn't have anything to do with anything in the world. He couldn't hardly speak publicly, but he preached once or twice. It killed him. He was a nervous wreck, but they asked him to do it, and he did it. I taught that to my son. And my son preached a youth Sunday years and years ago. I didn't think he was going to make it. He didn't start out good at all. I said, son, why'd you do that? He says, because you asked me. That's passed up two generations to him. Now he's got to pass it on, don't he? And it's just obedience. It's trust. And God loves you so much to open your eyes up right now and say, you're lost. You're growing up. And you have a choice. What will you do? There's somebody here that you are saved. And you've been through this before, and you need to do it again, don't you? Today, refuse to go on any further. And say, by the example of Jesus, and because I'm wheat, and I know I'm planting more seeds that's inside of me to those that are around me, I refuse to stop the seeds that God's given to me for my kids and grandkids. And I refuse to let the past stop me that they don't know anything about. That didn't influence them. It didn't pollute them at all, did it? Just me. But I've got an opportunity to brand new seeds to plant in those hearts that will grow spiritually. And I'll never have to experience the way that I was. Daddy always said, I don't want you to live like I did growing up. And I want to live like Daddy did growing up. As old as I am now, it's not that old. I'm a lot older than he was. But every one of us has people in our lives that God set there, didn't he? That nobody else in the world even knew they was alive till maybe kindergarten. Now I know it's earlier. But parents know kids before they do anything else, and bear the influence on them. I want to ask you to stand this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes.